Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The verse we want to treasure today comes from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. You heard it in Ray's wedding address there, and it's on your sermon notes on the bottom. It says, Jesus, from the Sermon on the Mount, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets." We pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it seems simple enough, doesn't it? I mean, we tell our kids this year in and year out, right? Treat your sister the way you want to be treated, right? Love your brother as you would want to be loved, not the way that they love or treat you. It seems simple. It seems life-changing, and yet we all struggle with it. You heard in the reading, the first reading from Acts, the apostles, Jesus rising up into heaven, "My time on earth is done. I've died on the cross for you. I've risen from the dead. I've proven to you that I am the Son of God and that my words can be trusted. Now go, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And what do? They march back into Jerusalem and they lock themselves in the upper room, maybe even the very upper room where they had the last supper with Jesus, for another 10 days, waiting. Well, that's not so much bad on the apostles. That's what Jesus told them to do, right? They'd wait for the gift from the Father. Wait for the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, then you will have the power, the strength, the courage that you need to overcome all obstacles, all challenges. And that's what they do. And in 2 weeks, we'll celebrate Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. But what about us? That excuse doesn't really work for us, does it? We don't get to wait 10 more days. Because when we were baptized and water in God's Word was combined in a miraculous way, we were given the Holy Spirit. We were given faith, the eyes to see, the heart to love, the ears to hear, the hands to do. We are Holy Spirit people, and yet we still struggle to live one to another, don't we? One of the books I've been reading in my work as a chaplain over at Advocate Condell Medical Center is Leadership and Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute. I read it 3 years ago, and we were to read it for class, and I picked it up, and I started reading, and I was like, "Now, wait a second, I think I heard this once before." And it's the same message, is that in every interpersonal interaction, wherever there is difficulty, one thing has already taken place. And it's not that the other person is just an idiot. That's not the thing. The thing that's taken place is self-deception. Now, you have had an interaction with somebody, and in your heart, you knew how you would want to be treated, and you chose to treat them differently. You deceived yourself. You betrayed yourself. And then you start to live in that reality that they are somehow less than human, less than worth your full measure of love. And whenever they decide to come down out of the clouds and ask for my forgiveness, then we can start to be friends again, and I'll treat them with the respect that they're due. This really hit me a couple weeks ago. I was listening to the audiobook of 12 Years a Slave. I think a lot of you saw that movie, Oscar-winning movie, 12 Years a Slave. And the treatment that the African slaves suffered at the hands of their white plantation owners was atrocious. But what stuck out for me in listening to this book was something Solomon Northrop said, the man who was free, who became a slave and then was freed later, wrote his own autobiography. The thing that he said that really stuck with me was the inhumanity of the slave owners. That something was taken from them too, which caused them to not love one to another, which cause them to be less than fully human to themselves. That they were living in self-betrayal and not fully expressing the love that God has for them. Easy thing to do. We all fall into it. For me, it was the first day that I came here to Emmanuel. They warn you at seminary, be careful. One of the first people who introduce themselves is an alligator. A person who wants to get undue power and influence over you and your ministry, and they can just be a pain in your neck if you're not careful, you don't guard yourself. Sure enough, one of the first people introduced themselves when I came through that door August 15th, 2010, grabbed my hand, pulled me close, and started telling me about the way things are supposed to be. And his grandparents had built the church on McHenry Avenue, and he's been a lifelong member here. And I just kind of leaned back. And I said, oh, okay. Nope. Later that afternoon, as I'm going to walk out the door to get in my car and drive home, he comes up again. Pulls me close. Pastor Eric, great to have you here. If you have any, you know, this, that. And I just wait. I said, you're the guy I need to talk to if I ever want to find out the way things are supposed to be. And I'd put him in a box. Right, I had separated, tried to create that distance so that me and the new pastor, I would have the freedom to do what I thought was right and not be encumbered by history, all of his wisdom and experience. And I could have lived there, and then I would have missed out on a great opportunity. Because 3 weeks ago, my friend, Charles Gumpricht, was chosen to go on an honor flight. This is Chuck in 1945 when he got home from World War II. So these honor flights, they gather up these veterans from the World War II and Korea, and they send them out for a whirlwind day in Washington, D.C. They get on a plane at 3 in the morning, and they fly out there, and they see all of the monuments, and they're introduced to currently active duty serving people, and they're thanked all along the way. And then they fly them home, and they give them letters from people who they have inspired, great big packets of mail, mail call on the airplane. And they get off the airplane at Midway, and there's thousands of people, literally thousands of people, shaking their hand all the way out the door, saying, thank you for your service. You know why this is important to Chuck? Because when he got off the train here in Crystal Lake in 1945, he walked himself up Main Street to his father's black shop and said, hey, Dad, I'm home. He didn't have that. He didn't have a homecoming. Nobody ever said thank you. He never expected it. He just said yes. The government invited him to be part of a worldwide conflict, and he said yes. Then he got home here to Crystal Lake, and they said, we need a fire department, and so he served on it as a volunteer for 44 years. And the church said, we need a custodian, and he served for 23 years over at the church on McHenry Avenue. And nobody ever complained about how things looked. He was always clean. Because Charles said, yes, I'll do it. So we gathered there in the driveway. It's his son-in-law and his daughter, Kathy, who plays the organ at some of our other services. And then there were people from all over the neighborhood, some neighbors who just heard the ruckus at midnight and thought they should come out and see what's going on. And some people who know Chuck from the Legion, and some people who know Chuck from church, and some people who are just getting to know Chuck. You see the banner in the background. Nolan, can I get your help? I wanted to bring that and show that to you. It's kind of tough to see in the dark. It says, thank you for your service, Mr. Gumpert. It was put together by the children of the school here. When we found out it probably wasn't going to be till midnight when he got in, we thought it was better to just have the kids sign a poster than actually come to his driveway. But you can see there, we love you, Chuck. Thank you for your service. So thankful for you, Charles. And ILS, such an honor to have an amazing person go to Emmanuel for church. Right? For Chuck, it's never been about him, and he was kind of embarrassed that we decided to do this. But when I explained to him that we need to be inspired, It's one of the great privileges that God has given to us to carry on this ministry now that he has ascended into heaven, to be his hands and feet, to be his heart and ears, to live one to another, to be a light to the world, to be a city on a hill, to build a community for Christ. Whatever tagline you want to put on it, folks, just treat people the way you want to be treated and stop lying to yourself. And just say, living for God is better than living for me, because the next generation needs to be inspired. This is Justin Bernero. Justin's 21, graduated from Crystal Lake 3 years ago. He was a little bored here in our community. So bored he got on his skateboard and rode across America from North Carolina to California a couple summers ago. So bored he decided to join the Marine Corps. And he went to boot camp this winter, and he was home for a couple of weeks, and he was able to be there and welcome Chuck home and say, thank you, Mr. Gumprecht, for your inspiration. Chuck says, why is everybody being so nice to me? He says, it's not about me, Eric. It's not about me. I said, I know that, Chuck, but you said yes. When God invited you to glorify his name, you said yes. Because as we heard from Jesus, God has glorified his name, and God will glorify it again through you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.